every time you hit send on like a sensitive company document, you are basically handing it to a digital landlord.
Right, a landlord who holds the master key.
Exactly. They casually read the return addresses, they dictate the rules of the building, and you just have to trust them. Welcome to the deep dive.
If you are a learner who has ever felt that, that nagging desire to take back control of your digital life.
To change the locks and build your own fortress rather than renting a compromised apartment, you are in exactly the right place. Today, we are on a mission to demystify one of the most notoriously intimidating realms of digital independence.
We're talking about self-hosted email infrastructure.
Right, and we are pulling our insights today from the source repository of a project called Simple Nixos Mail Server.
Which is, fundamentally, it's a blueprint for how to stop relying on those massive corporate landlords to handle your most private communications.
And relying on those massive corporate landlords is, well, it's the default reality for almost every modern business. Which brings us to the supporter of this deep dive, SafeServer, whose mission is tackling this exact problem.
Yeah, it's a massive issue for organizations.
It really is. I mean, if you run an organization, an association, or a business, you know that expensive proprietary tools from tech giants like Microsoft Exchange or Google Workspace, they just have an absolute monopoly on the email space.
Oh, totally. And they rack up these hefty, inescapable recurring licensing costs.
No, but the financial drain is, it's really only half the problem when you're dealing with email retention, financial records, strict audit trails, data protection. Well, a concept called data sovereignty becomes paramount.
Right, because storing your sensitive internal communications on the servers of foreign tech giants severely complicates legal and regulatory compliance.
Exactly. And SafeServer solves this by helping organizations find and implement open source solutions like the exact one we are dissecting today. They guide you from the initial consulting phase all the way to secure, reliable operation right on German servers.
So you keep your data sovereign.
Yes, and you stop paying perpetual rent. You can find out more about how they engineer this independence at www.safeserver.de.
Which perfectly frames the stakes of our source material today, honestly. The push for open source software isn't just, an ideological crusade for tech enthusiasts anymore.
Right, it's practical.
Extremely practical. It provides a highly viable, deeply cost-effective escape route from those expensive proprietary ecosystems.
Yeah.
We are looking at the actual mechanics of how independence is achieved.
So, getting into that, our source material is the GitLab repository for the Simple Nixos Mail Server project. And the very first things you see are its defining tags, email, and self-hosting.
Two very loaded terms in the IT world.
Very loaded. Now, returning to that earlier analogy, relying on a big tech provider is renting the apartment where the landlord reads your mail. Self-hosting is deciding to, well, buy a plot of land and build your own fortress.
You own the mailbox.
Right. You hold the only key. And it sounds amazing in theory, but here is the barrier that stops almost everyone. Email is widely considered by developers to be one of the absolute hardest things to self-host.
Oh, without a doubt.
Taking back your inbox is treated like this monumental, almost foolish task. Why is that the case?
Well, to understand the sheer value of this specific project, you have to understand the historical baggage of email. We tend to think of email as just, hitting send and the message magically appearing on the other side.
Because that's how it feels to the user.
Exactly. But underneath, the architecture of email is a relic of the early internet. Back in the 1980s and 90s, the internet was a high-trust environment.
Right.
Servers would happily accept messages from anyone and just pass them along. It was an open relay system.
And then spam arrived and totally ruined the neighborhood.
Precisely. Once bad actors realized they could send millions of pharmaceutical ads for free, that high-trust environment just collapsed.
It had to.
Yeah, the entire email ecosystem had to pivot to a zero-trust model. Suddenly, you couldn't just spin up a server and send a message. The major players, Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, started building these massive invisible barricades to keep the spam out.
So today, if you want to self-host an email server, you are forced to navigate a staggeringly complex web of moving parts just to prove you aren't a spammer.
Exactly.
Let's break down those moving parts, actually, because I think a lot of people hear security protocols and just imagine like a firewall.
Yeah.
What is actually happening when a self-hosted server tries to send an email to a Gmail address?
Oh, it's intense. You are engaging in a multi-layered cryptographic handshake. First, you have to set up something called SPF or Sender Policy Framework.
Go SPF.
Think of SPF as a guest list at the door of a club. You publish a public record in your domain's DNS that lists the exact IP addresses allowed to send mail on your behalf.
So if your server isn't on that list?
The bouncer, which is Gmail in this case, just rejects the message.
Okay, so that prevents someone else from spoofing my domain.
Correct. But SPF isn't enough, because IPs can be spoofed or compromised. So you also have to implement DKIM, which stands for Domain Keys Identified Mail.
And this is where it gets highly technical, right?
Very. Your server has to mathematically generate a unique cryptographic wax seal for every single outgoing email using a private key hidden on your server.
Oh, wow. Every single email.
Yep. And then the receiving server looks up your public key and verifies that the seal hasn't been tampered with in transit.
And if you misconfigure that private key by even, like, a single character in your server files?
Wax seal is broken. Every single email you send will silently vanish into a spam folder or be rejected entirely. And the kicker, you will receive almost no notification that it happened.
That is terrifying for a business.
It really is. And we haven't even touched on DRRs, which is a policy telling the receiving server exactly what to do if the SPF guest list or the DKIM wax seal fails.
So you have all these external protocols.
Plus the internal ones. Then you have to configure PostFix to actually route the mail, Dovecot, so your phone can read the mail via IMAP, and rspammed to filter incoming junk.
I mean, in a traditional server environment, you are manually configuring a dozen different software packages. You're editing fragile text files spread across your entire operating system.
Right. It's a mess.
It sounds like trying to perform open-heart surgery in the dark while reading a manual translated from a dead language.
That's a great way to put it. For decades, that was the reality. Self-hosting your email was this dark art reserved for the most hardened system administrators. You would spend countless hours tweaking server settings through agonizing trial and error.
But the source material for today gives us a very specific pivotal date, June 25, 2018.
Ah, yes. The creation date of the simple Nixos mail server project.
Right.
June 25, 2018 marks a really significant philosophical shift in this space. On that day, developers looked at the nightmare of self-hosting and decided to build a bridge.
They recognized that taking control of your data and deciding to self-host your most sensitive communications shouldn't require a degree in cryptography.
Exactly. The simple Nixos mail server project was born to systematically untangle that chaotic web and make data sovereignty accessible.
But they couldn't just make email easy by ignoring the complexity, right? The barricades you mentioned, SPF, DKIM, Dovecot, PostFix, those still have to exist for the email to function in the modern world.
Right. The protocols are non-negotiable.
So how does this project actually manage that immense complexity without completely overwhelming the user?
Well, the secret lies in the foundation it's built upon. The project's core description reads, simple and complete declarative NixOS mail server setups.
Okay, declarative NixOS setups.
Right. To understand how this changes everything, we have to unpack what NixOS actually is.
Let's pause right there, because NixOS and declarative, those are intimidating concepts for a beginner.
Fair enough.
I mean, if I'm a user who is used to Windows or a standard Linux distribution where I just click an install button or type a command to download a package, what is NixOS doing differently? Let me try an analogy to visualize this declarative setup versus the old way.
Go for it. Let's hear it.
Let's talk about driving. The old way of setting up servers, what developers call imperative configuration, is like giving someone exhausting turn-by-turn driving directions.
Okay, yeah.
You have to tell the computer, drive exactly 400 feet, turn left, wait at the light, open the specific text file, change line 42, restart the engine, merge right.
And if you give one wrong instruction,
or if the road has changed since the last time you drove it, the car crashes.
And in server terms, that crash means your email goes down. Imperative systems, you are constantly mutating the state of the machine. Over time, as you install updates and tweak settings, your server becomes a fragile, unique snowflake.
Because if it breaks, you have no idea how to recreate the exact sequence of turns that got you there.
Exactly. It's nearly impossible to replicate perfectly.
But a declarative approach, which is what NixOS uses, flips that entirely. It's like stepping into a highly advanced self-driving car. You hand the computer the final address, the destination, and you just say, take me here.
Right. You don't micromanage the steering?
No. You don't care how it navigates the traffic, how it turns the wheel, or what route it takes. You just declare the final state you want, and you trust the underlying engine to figure out the thousands of micro-adjustments needed to make it a reality.
That analogy perfectly captures the paradigm shift of NixOS. NixOS is an operating system built entirely around functional programming principles.
So no turn-by-turn commands?
None. Instead of typing command after command to mutate your server, you write a single configuration file, a .nix file. You essentially write a document that says, I want a secure mail server, I want it to handle the domain mycompany.com, I want 3 user accounts, and here are their hashed passwords.
You just declare the destination.
You declare the destination.
So where does the simple NixOS mail server project fit into that self-driving car analogy?
The project acts as the navigation engine. It takes your simple, human-readable declaration and automatically translates it into the hundreds of complex, interdependent configurations required to make the email server actually function.
So it's doing the heavy lifting.
All of it. Behind the scenes, the project's code calculates exactly how to configure PostFix, how to securely set up Dovecot, how to wire up the spam filters, and how to generate the cryptographic keys for DKNOW.
Wow.
Yeah, it generates all those obscure text files for you, flawlessly, without you ever having to look at them.
It completely abstracts away the human error. You aren't manually typing out cryptographic pathways, you are just stating your business needs.
And the true superpower of this declarative system is a concept called reproducibility.
Reproducibility.
Yeah, this is the holy grail for IT infrastructure. Because your entire mail server is defined by that one .nix configuration file, the NixOS system will build the server exactly the same way every single time.
Wait, so if my server hardware literally catches on fire and melts into a puddle of plastic?
In a traditional imperative setup, you would spend a week in a panic.
Mm.
You'd be trying to remember how you configured your SPF records 3 years ago, desperately trying to rebuild the snowflake.
Right, pulling your hair out.
But with NixOS,
yeah,
you just buy a new server, feed it that exact same .nix file, and hit run.
That's it?
That's it. The system reads the declaration and rebuilds your entire intricate email infrastructure identically, down to the last byte. It eliminates the trial and error nightmare.
Man.
You have codified your infrastructure into a predictable, manageable document.
That is genuinely incredible. It takes a tangled web that has scared businesses away from self-hosting for 2 decades and turns it into a stable, reproducible asset.
It really does.
But I need to play devil's advocate here for a second. We are talking about routing our most sensitive, private data, our financial communications, legal contracts, business secrets through this software.
Right. The stakes are very high.
We are trusting it to handle the cryptographic keys to our digital identity. The repository tells us this project is hosted publicly on GitLab, and it operates under the GNU GPLv3 license.
Yes, the GPLv3.
Wait, let me stop you there. If anyone in the world can read the underlying code for my secure mail server, isn't that a massive security risk? Aren't we just handing malicious hackers the blueprints to our fortress?
That is the most common and perhaps the most important misconception about digital security.
Really?
Yeah. You are describing a concept known as security through obscurity. The idea that a system is safe simply because its inner workings are kept secret. Historically, that has proven to be a disastrously fragile approach.
Because if a hacker does find a flaw in the secret blueprint, no one else knows about it and they can exploit it in the dark.
Exactly. When you use a proprietary service from a massive tech giant, you are operating inside a black box. You have no idea how their spam algorithms actually work, what data they are quietly extracting from your messages to train their internal AI models, or what hidden vulnerabilities exist in their code.
You just have to trust their marketing department and hope they catch their own bugs.
Which they often don't.
So how does the open source model flip that vulnerability into a strength?
Through a principle known in cryptography as Kirchhoff's principle.
Okay, what's that?
It states that a system should be secure, even if everything about the system, except the private keys, is public knowledge. And this brings us to the GPLv3 license.
The GNU General Public License Version 3.
Right. It is one of the strongest open source licenses in existence. It legally guarantees that the source code of the simple NixOS mail server is completely transparent and freely available.
It forces the blueprint into the light.
And because it lives on GitLab, a platform specifically built for massive collaboration, those blueprints are constantly being scrutinized.
Yeah.
This isn't just one isolated developer hoarding code.
It's a community.
It's an entire global community of independent security researchers, enterprise IT auditors, and passionate system administrators reading every single line of code. There's a famous adage in software engineering called Linus's Law.
Given enough eyeballs, all bugs are shallow.
Exactly. If there is a backdoor or a flaw in how the mail server handles cryptography, A community of thousands is infinitely more likely to spot it and patch it than a closed team at a single corporation.
That fundamentally changes the trust dynamic. You aren't trusting a corporate entity, you are trusting a verifiable, peer-reviewed mathematical mechanism.
Yes.
And the GPLv3 license does something else legally, doesn't it? It prevents corporate enclosure.
It is the absolute bedrock of your long-term data sovereignty. The GPLv3 ensures that no corporation can ever take this project, lock it down, claim it as their own proprietary technology, and start charging you licensing fees to use it.
Wow.
The code is terminally immunized against being bought out and closed off.
That is a massively empowering concept for any organization. It means you aren't just adopting a new IT tool, you are adopting a resilient philosophy of digital rights.
Well said.
Let's take a step back and look at the terrain we've covered today. We started with a pervasive, intimidating problem. The reality that millions of businesses feel trapped, perpetually renting digital space from tech giants who have total control over their data.
Right. And they stay trapped because the alternative, building a self-hosted email server from scratch, was a labyrinth of cryptographic protocols, DNS records, and fragile server configurations.
A labyrinth that required you to maintain a zero-trust barricade manually, making self-hosting a financial and technical impossibility for most.
But then we examined a pivotal shift that began on June 25, 2018.
Yes, we explored how the simple Nixos mail server leverages the revolutionary declarative power of the NixOS operating system. It swaps out the exhausting, error-prone, imperative method of server setup for a simple self-driving declaration.
You write a single file stating your destination. Here's my domain. Here are my users. Make it secure.
And the system automatically abstracts the complexity of SPF, DKIM, and routing, transforming the dark art of self-hosting into a perfectly reproducible, stable process.
And most importantly, it wraps all of this in the protective, transparent guarantee of the GNU GPLv3 license on GitLab.
Ensuring your foundation remains peer-reviewed, auditable, and truly yours.
It proves that data sovereignty isn't just, you know, an abstract academic ideal with the right declarative architecture. It is a highly practical, accessible reality.
And realizing that practical reality brings us right back to the real-world application we discussed at the top of the show. If you are listening to this and you represent a business, an association, or any group managing sensitive communications, the transition we are talking about today isn't just an IT upgrade.
No, it is a fundamental shift in how your organization operates.
This is precisely why the support of SafeServer for this episode is so relevant. Making the switch away from Microsoft or Google to open source solutions like a NixOS mail server offers massive tangible gains.
Tangible being the operative word there.
First and foremost, you are looking at a dramatic reduction in recurring monthly costs. You stop paying a premium per inbox per month fee forever.
For organizations with hundreds of employees, the budget implications alone justify the migration to open source.
Oh, absolutely. But beyond the budget, you gain the ultimate peace of mind regarding strict data compliance. When your financial records and internal communications live on servers you control, governed by transparent open source software, well, passing legal audits and meeting privacy regulations becomes infinitely smoother.
You aren't hoping a tech giant respects your privacy. You are cryptographically enforcing it.
Right. Now, you don't have to navigate this transition or write those .nix configuration files alone. SafeServer can be commissioned for specialized consulting to help you evaluate whether this specific NixOS software or perhaps a comparable open source alternative is the exact right fit for your organization's unique operational needs.
They handle the complexity of migration for you.
Ensuring secure sovereign operation right on German servers. You can start that journey toward true digital independence today by visiting www.safeserver.de.
It really is about making an informed strategic choice to stop renting your infrastructure and start owning it.
It changes your entire relationship with the technology you use every day. As we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to ponder. We've spent this time dissecting how a single declarative configuration file can successfully tame something as notoriously chaotic, hostile, and complex as an entire corporate email server.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? If this philosophy of declaring your final destination and trusting transparent, community-audited tools can solve the absolute hardest problem in digital communication, what else is possible?
Right.
What other chaotic, hyper-managed areas of your digital life, your sprawling file storage, your calendar, your smart home devices, your entire digital identity could be simplified, secured, and ultimately reclaimed using that exact same open-source philosophy?
Are you going to keep handing over the master key to your digital apartment, or are you ready to finally build your own fortress? Something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.